Okay. And this study looked at grower adoption of weed resistance management practices. This is collaboration with Terry Hurley from Minnesota and Paul Mitchell from Wisconsin. And why do we have Big Ten people at a cotton conference? I'll explain in a minute. We're looking at the Roundup Ready weed management system. It's been valuable to growers, both cotton and otherwise, but it's threatened with weed resistance problems. And grower adoption of different weed resistance best management practices can increase the sustainability of this type of system. And Monsanto has been putting up on their website and pushing a set of different best management practices to prevent weed resistance. And what we've done is divided those recommendations into 10 separate practices. And so the research questions that we're going to deal with in this talk is which BMPs are growers adopting frequently, and which ones are they not adopting frequently? And can we identify, first, what are people doing? And then the second part is why. So if someone's adopting a practice frequently or infrequently, what factors account for that? And we looked at this in two ways. We were looking at kind of the total number of practices that people were adopting frequently. And then we were also looking at the frequency of adoption of different practices. And this was a database that was collected through the collaboration with Monsanto and Marketing Horizons. We, with them, developed the survey, and it was administered by Marketing Horizons by phone. And it's not just cotton growers, it's 400 each of cotton, corn, and soybean growers. The cotton growers surveyed are from the Southern Plains, Delta, and Southeast, and they have 250 or more acres. So these are the practices that are frequently adopted: scouting fields before and after herbicide application, controlling weeds early, controlling escapes, using new seed free of weed, following the label rate, starting with a clean field. Less frequently are cleaning equipment before moving between fields, using multiple herbicides with different modes of action, and using supplemental tillage. Now, the nature of this data, we're asking people the frequency of adoption. So did you adopt these practices always, often, sometimes, rarely, or never? Well, there's an order to these responses, but it's not a continuous variable. And so even though in the surveys things are rated 1 through 5, you can't really run like an OLS regression because it's not on a continuous scale. For example, going from a response of often to always isn't the same as going from rarely to never. And sometimes I've seen studies where they actually have like a 1 to 5 Likert scale and they try to run OLS on that, and that's inappropriate. We did a count data model without going into too much detail. Basically, we're trying to count the total number of practices that people adopted often or always, and there's different types of count data models that we looked at to try to estimate the total number of practices that growers adopted often or always. And then we also had ordered and binary probit models. The idea was we were actually trying to predict, does somebody say they adopt this practice often, always, sometimes, rarely, or never. Then we also split it up into a binary probit to look at, well, who's doing things rarely or never, and who's doing things more often. And those factors could often be different. A way to think about this is if you were looking at educational attainment, the factors that explain whether or not someone dropped out of high school might be very different from the factors that explain whether you've gone to graduate school or not. And so the factors that explain kind of rarely or never adopting might be different than things that explain more frequent adoption at the higher levels. So here's the distribution of adoption. And you can see that most growers practice 7 or more BMPs often or always. More than 3/4 of them practice 6 or more, and more than 90% practice 5 or more. And cotton growers tend to do a little bit more than the other folks. This is another way of looking at the data all in one graph. There are 400 cotton growers, and it's the kind of the more the area that's covered up in that kind of light green is the greater rate of adoption. And you can see that there are seven of these different BMPs where adoption is above 3/4, and then there's three remaining that are less frequently adopted. Let me skip these numbers. Now, there's a lot of regression results. I'm not going to present anywhere near all of them. This is a Poisson regression, and it's basically estimating the count of these 10 practices that people adopt. So the dependent variable is either 0, 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 10. And so this type of regression accounts for the fact that you can only get values in those integers. And this is pooling across the different crops. When we split the model up, it behaved very badly. Pooling seemed to work. And actually, when we looked at the data on the adoption patterns for soybean growers and corn growers, the practices that they practice frequently were the same ones that the cotton growers were practicing frequently. The ones they practice infrequently were also the same. So we actually were able to pool the data, but we were accounting for the different type of grower as an explanatory variable. And in the model, cotton growers tend to adopt more practices. This is attenuated a little bit when you account for state effects. There's not an obviously overlap between the cotton growers and the corn growers, so I think the state effects are fairly highly correlated with that cotton variable, so that may be the cause of bringing the statistical significance down for cotton. Growers who are more educated tend to adopt more practices. With growers with more years of farming tend to adopt less. This might be an age effect where younger growers are adopting more, older ones less. A variable that was important was that percent yield difference. And what growers were asked in the survey was, what do you expect your yields to be this year? And we compared that as a percentage of the county's yield in that crop. So if a grower really expected, you know, much higher yields than what the county average was, they tended to be adopting more practices. And a way to interpret this might be some kind of like good manager effect. You know, people who have higher yields than their neighbors tend to be adopting more. Another variable that was very significant in a lot of the different analysis was the yield CV. Again, for the crop, for each individual crop, we looked at the standard deviation of yield over the mean of the yield in that county, and it's a measure of kind of a normalized measure of yield variability in each county. And again, in areas where the production environment was a lot more uncertain, you had less adoption of the BMPs. The Herfindahl index is a measure of concentration. The higher the index, the more specialized people were in their particular crop. So as the index goes to one, it means someone's just growing nothing but cotton. That wasn't significant. We also looked at the percentage of herbicides that were applied by custom applicators, and that wasn't significant. We had data from Monsanto on weed resistance in the county, and we used that to get weed resistance in the crop reporting district. In the county, it wasn't significant. In the crop reporting district, which is a broader area, it was where there was some weed resistance events. There tended to be less BMP adoption. Now, kind of summarize, more BMPs were adopted by cotton growers, growers with more education, fewer years of experience, ones expecting higher yields, and a county with lower yield variability, and not in a reporting district with confirmed resistance. Now, the probit regressions, I'm not going to go through this because we have two types of regressions, ordered binary, 10 different types of BMPs with and without state effects. And so if you multiply that out, just pooling the data, you've got, you know, 40 pool regressions. If you look at crop specific regressions, we have 120 of them, 40 just for cotton. I'm not about to do that today. I'm just going to kind of show you some highlights. Again, a very robust effect, and this is kind of the adoption of individual BMPs that growers that expected higher yields than the county average tended to adopt more than people who didn't for a different set of individual BMPs. Also, in counties with higher yield variability, with a higher coefficient of variation of yield, that tended to discourage adoption of all these BMPs. That seemed to be a fairly, that this yield variability measure was a fairly robust explanatory variable in the regressions. Now, from the binary probit, we can actually estimate not just regression coefficients, but how a change in a variable affects the probability of rarely or never adopting a particular BMP. And so we're focusing now on the ones that people don't do so often. So in terms of cleaning equipment, if a grower actually expressed concerns about resistance, this increased the probability, it's kind of double negatives, of never or rarely cleaning their equipment, but only about 9 percentage points. The baseline we had in the model was Texas and Oklahoma cotton growers. Other regions had a higher probability, again, of never never or rarely cleaning equipment, which means that Texas and Oklahoma folks had a higher probability, in Tennessee in particular, this was higher. Now we're looking at rarely or never using herbicides with different modes of action. Again, yield variability mattered. If you went from the mean of the sample up to the maximum, it increased that 25 percentage points. Increasing Roundup Ready adoption from the sample mean up to 100% and down by the same amount only had an effect of 2 percentage points. So kind of some, the Roundup Ready seed use had a kind of a depressing effect on using different modes of action. Although it was statistically significant, it didn't have much of an effect on the marginal probabilities. When we looked at crop-specific regressions, it wasn't significant for cotton. With minimum tillage, again, it was a lot more likely to, supplemental tillage was a lot more likely in Texas and other places. And again, I think this is related to adoption of no-till practices where people growing Roundup also are using a lot more no-till. Okay, to sum up, BMP adoption rates were high for 7 BMPs and low for just 3 of them. Adoption rates tended to be higher for cotton growers and corn and soybean growers. Yield expectations are a fairly robust predictor of more frequent BMP adoption. County yield variability was also a robust predictor of less BMP adoption. One interesting thing is we had data on whether there was confirmed cases of resistance in a particular county. That never came out to be significant in any of all those regressions we ran. There's similar BMP adoption patterns for corn and soybeans. So cotton growers tend to adopt a little bit more. That coefficient's significant, but the overall effect is fairly modest. So it's like corn, cotton, and soybean growers are kind of doing and not doing similar things. And so implications for extension is that you can focus on those 3 BMPs where adoption rates are relatively low, and a lot of growers are adopting a lot of the practices. So there's kind of a small number, relatively small number of practices, a relatively small number of growers, and cotton and soybean growers aren't really doing different things. So in terms of delivering a weed resistance extension message, there's scope for really focusing on a subset, you know, or a subclass of producers. An obvious follow-up questions would be looking at those infrequently practiced BMPs to actually, you know, directly go into the growers and say, why aren't you adopting these?
That's right on time.